Welcome back. This is our next to last video in our course, Developing Great Commission Skills. We're going to be wrapping up our discussion of leaving a gospel footprint and zeroing in on two skill topics, personal discipling and corporate discipling. So, let's dive in. The Greek word for disciple is the word mathetes, spelled for you there on the screen in transliterated English. Now, this word carries the basic meaning of pupil, student, or learner. Now, the way that it worked in those days is that rabbis would attract students that wanted to study with that particular rabbi. And the practice was that the student would approach the rabbi and essentially make a pitch, you know, apply to be included as a student or a disciple, a mathetes, of that particular rabbi. So the student was the one who was catalytic in getting started down that path, and if the rabbi agreed that that particular person could study with him, and then you would become a disciple of that particular teacher. So disciple was not considered to be just sort of a generic term for, you know, anyone who is a student of anything. It was referred specifically to be you were a disciple of a particular rabbi. Now, what's different, of course, with the coming of Christ is things got flipped around. Jesus, the rabbi, didn't wait for Peter, James, John, Matthew. The disciples didn't come to him and ask permission to be his student. Jesus stepped into their lives and called them in a way that apparently they could not refuse, as they dropped everything and immediately became disciples of Jesus Christ. So that's a very different protocol from the norm in that day, but I think it points to how Jesus operates. Jesus does the calling. And you will recall from our last session, no one comes to Christ without being drawn. Well, it's a similar idea. You're being drawn in to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. The Theological Dictionary of the New Testament informs us with this. In the New Testament, the word mathetes occurs only in the Gospels and Acts. It is attested some 250 times, almost always for those who follow Jesus. Further, mathetes implies a relationship to a particular teacher. So being a student was not a general categorization for someone who was a student in the sense of the word's usage today. Rather, to be a student or to be a disciple was to affix that learner to one particular teacher. The disciple then was a follower of that teacher. So there was a very personal, singular relationship between being a disciple and the person whom that disciple was following. Now, what was the objective of discipling back then and now? The objective is this: it's to center the disciple on an ever-deepening relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are discipling someone personally, your goal ultimately is to help that person center his or her life on the person of Jesus Christ. Discipling is not primarily about the content of the material. You know, a lot of times in our day, when we think of discipleship, our thoughts immediately go to the content of the study. You know, a study on the book of Ephesians or a study on the history of the church. You know, it's related to the curriculum, whereas the real idea of disciple in the sense of disciples of Christ is to be centered on the person of Jesus Christ, building into relationship with Jesus Christ. So matters like curriculum are tools that are utilized in that process, but they are not the goal. They're not the ends. They are the means. Okay? Now, one analogy I'd like to share with you would be this. As a discipler, think of yourself somewhat as a tour guide. If you'll think about the role of a tour guide, you know, if you're going to some particular location, maybe you're going to a museum or you're going to, you know, the Kennedy Space Center or something along those lines, and you want to see all that's going on, you want to learn all that's going on, very often you will be directed to a tour guide who is going to facilitate that for you. Now, the tour guide is someone who is very familiar, very knowledgeable, who can share that knowledge with you, point out to you what's important, what needs to be pointed out, take you places you could never go, give you insights that you don't have. That's the role of the tour guide. But, you know, at the end of the day, when the process is completed, when you leave that experience, you're really not thinking about the tour guide. You're thinking about all the things that you learned, that you saw, that you experienced. Well, when you're a discipler, it's kind of like being a Jesus tour guide. You have a relationship with Christ. You are familiar with the Bible. You have certain insights and understandings into how God works, how life works when you are a follower of Christ. And you are guiding this person with whom you are discipling through that experience, pointing them to Jesus, pointing them to Scripture, pointing out key elements that this person needs to understand in order to grow to maturity. But at the end of the day, you're not in the spotlight. Jesus is in the spotlight. So this idea of being a discipling tour guide, I think, has a lot of validity, and I hope that you will take that to heart. Now, there are three elements that I want to emphasize regarding personal discipling, and those elements are these: the ministry of the word and prayer, the conversion discipleship gap, and obedience-based discipleship. So let me speak to each of these briefly. You know, that phrase, ministry of the word and prayer, it comes to us out of Acts chapter 6. If you're familiar with this account, early on in the life of the church, there was a situation that arose among the followers of Christ where the Grecian widows were being overlooked in the distribution of food. And so this problem was brought to the attention of the disciples, and here's how they responded. It says, the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, you know, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. So in other words, they're going to raise up a team of people that will take care of the distribution of food problem. But for them, as the leaders, the ones who were training others in the faith, they said this: we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Prayer and the ministry of the word. What a discipler is doing in working with someone through discipleship is working with them through the ministry of the word and prayer. Training, teaching, instructing, praying with, praying for, helping that person develop solid biblical spiritual habits of daily time with the Lord, daily time in the Word, daily time in prayer, growing in faith, establishing a pattern that will lead to greater and greater maturity over time. And central to this is the ministry of the Word and prayer. Secondly, what I'm calling the conversion discipleship gap. Here's what I'm pushing for here. What I'm finding is that many times when someone steps forward to receive Christ, to express a desire to receive Jesus as Savior and as Lord, there's a lot of celebration. There might be a baptism service, and those are wonderful things. But quite often, it sort of pauses there, because that person, that newcomer to the faith, doesn't quite know what to do. Like, what do I do now? And there's a gap between that time of conversion and when true discipleship begins. And so what I'm suggesting here is that we want to close that gap. We want to begin discipling immediately upon a person's conversion. We don't want there to be, you know, a 3-month, 6-month delay before that person has someone working with them to disciple them into living out their faith. So we want to close that gap. We're going to use the ministry of the word in prayer, and we're going to close the gap between the time of conversion and the time that discipleship begins. One final element that I want to mention: obedience-based discipleship. Getting back to the Great Commission, the Great Commission says, teach them to obey all that I have commanded. In some versions of the Bible, it says, teach them to observe all that I have commanded. The point is not just to receive biblical information. The point is to begin to live biblical lives, lives of obedience to the teachings of Christ, not just knowledge of the teachings of Christ. So, as you are working with someone as a discipler, I want to encourage you to think about leading them into obedience-based discipleship, not just information-based discipleship. They need to do much more than just learn. They need to be obedient. And that, of course, is going to require that you model for them what obedience looks like. So the life that you're living is an obedience-based discipleship as you follow Christ as his disciple. Okay? Now, there's a principle here, and the principle is this. Obedience-based discipleship will secure and develop the life transformation that begins at conversion. That begins at conversion. So, whatever we do in the various ways that we go about discipling people, just make sure that you're dialed in to obedience-based discipleship. So, that's what personal discipling can look like. Ministry of the Word and prayer, closing the gap between conversion and discipleship, and obedience-based discipleship being the thrust. Now, I want to move into corporate discipleship, and just a few things to say there. Think of this as three levels of corporate discipleship. the cell level, the community level, and the congregation level. Now, these particular words I have borrowed from Peter Wagner. Peter Wagner was quite a leader in the church growth movement back in the, I guess, the mid to later part of the 20th century. And this is the language that he used. It might be a little bit obsolete today, but I think it makes a good point. And so I'm going to lean on what he had presented before. Now, the cell level would be the small level, not necessarily a formal small group, but any small grouping of people. You know, if you think about a Sunday school class that maybe has six people, or a small group that has maybe 10 people, you know, these would be considered the cellular levels of the church. So one of the platforms that we might use in discipling people are these cells. Now, of course, the smallest cell would be the one-on-one cell, but now we're getting into back into personal discipling. Corporate discipling suggests that we have systems in place to corporately disciple our congregation, and I'm suggesting that there are three levels on which that could operate. First, the cell level. Secondly, there's the community level. And that would be the level of groups of people that are truly actively involved. It's not as large a group as an entire congregation. It's more of a subset of a congregation. But in typical conventional form, many churches over the years have had, say, a midweek Bible study of some kind. Well, that would be more the community level, where it's not super small, but it's not the full congregation. It's more that in-between group that can be leveraged for discipling. And then, of course, there's the congregation at large. You know, even preaching on Sunday should be considered an act of discipling. You know, any time that you're pouring out the Word of God, the things of God, we're sharing about how to live this life of obedience, whatever shape that takes, it's encompassed under discipling. So we can disciple in small gatherings, we can disciple in medium-sized gatherings, we can disciple in full congregational gatherings. So this is how we want to be thinking about corporate discipleship. So, you know, in putting these pieces together, we're going to blend these two concepts together. What we're going to do is we're going to disciple people through the ministry of the word and prayer, making sure that we get people started into discipleship as quickly as possible following conversion. Now, a spinoff of that would be making sure that we get people into discipleship very soon after their arrival at our church. As a newcomer comes into our church, maybe that newcomer is going to be coming in through a conversion experience, but it might be something where, you know, someone who's drifted from the faith has come back, or someone who has been quite faithful but lives someplace else has now moved into our area and is now coming to our church. Well, the sooner we can get people into discipling, the better, whether it's on the heels of conversion or on the heels of recently coming into the church. And then, of course, our emphasis on obedience-based discipleship. And we're going to navigate all of this at the three levels: the small cell level, the medium community level, the large congregational level. Now, when you fit all of these pieces together, what you have is a very proactive approach to thoroughly discipling a congregation. So on one hand, we have personal discipling, but we're going to link that to corporate discipling, and we are going to strive, having taken responsibility for the spiritual development of people, We're gonna take the responsibility of moving them forward into deeper levels of maturity, deeper levels of service, and ultimately, the one being discipled becomes the discipler, and that's how we multiply. So that wraps up our video, our final video in the sense of these skill sets, leaving a gospel footprint with personal and corporate discipling. Now we've got one more video to go, and that will conclude our class. But this final video, we've already covered all 36 skill topics and all six topics. Oh my goodness, I forgot I want to summarize quickly the six skill topics that we talked about in this case. Let me pop myself back on screen. You will recall we worked our way through life with God, through personal outreach and evangelism, through corporate outreach and evangelism. We talked about the gospel ask, and now we've just completed a discussion of personal discipling and corporate discipling. So we've covered all of that ground as part of leaving a gospel footprint. And our final video session, we will be doing a bit of a wrap-up, and we will be talking about moving from theory to practice. I know that I've laid out an awful lot of theory over these three dozen videos. Much of what I have shared with you has been very practical in terms of doing ministry. But, you know, we must get off the page and into the harvest. That's where the action is. So next time we'll wrap up with From Theory to Practice. May God bless you as you are about to complete this course. And I pray that it will be very meaningful to you in both your personal ministry and in your ministry to others. In the name of Jesus, amen.